My name is Shree. I am 17 years old. Today, November 29th, I am speaking with my grandmother, who is... I am recording this interview in Reno, Nevada, and she is recording this interview from Hyderabad, India. Why did you agree to do this interview today?
Because it is important for you. And I would like to be part of your educational, anything I could be.
What were some of your expectations coming into this conversation, and how did they change?
How did they change?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but we didn't finish the question, so how could I change?
Here, wait, I'll come back to that one. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood, and what were you like as a child?
I was just ignorant. No, I wouldn't say that. Well, my childhood was spent in a village.
Mm-hmm.
I went to school in a small town. Life was very peaceful,
mm-hmm.
and we had a lot of freedom to play and pick what we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot less stress in my life as a child.
Yeah, I bet. Are there any, like, memorable stories from your childhood that...
Memorable things in my childhood?
Like, stories or just stuff you did that are pretty funny.
Okay, I'm sure I would, but I just need to think a minute.
Mm-hmm.
My childhood means, like, very chinnapuda, like, what they call high school.
Either one.
Okay. I was excited when I got an admission
mm-hmm.
into one of the schools because it's supposed to be a great school.
Yeah.
Then I was excited very much when I completed my high school to join college.
Nice. Tell me.
I have memories of learning dance in childhood.
Mm-hmm. Like Kuchipudi?
Yeah, we used to perform in different spiritual occasions.
Nice. Did you have an Arangetram as well?
I didn't have an Arangetram, no. I did without Arangetram. My dad didn't have money to perform Arangetram, Ra.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Tell me about your parents, about your life with JG and Gopdatta.
Okay, my dad was a very easygoing parent
mm-hmm.
and was always very joyful. We did a lot of things together.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing some, for lifestyle, he was a businessman.
Yeah.
And my mom was a homemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Was strict, very much, too much discipline. And, but they gave us a very good childhood.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's it.
How strict was she? Like, any examples?
Indra?
How strict was she?
My mom was very strict with us. But my dad used to always find a way to let us out.
Do you have any examples of JG being strict?
My mom would never allow us to go to a movie with friends.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, my dad will talk her out of it
mm-hmm.
and give us money and go for, and he would allow us to go to movies.
Yeah.
And I'd go out with friends. He was a kind parent.
Yeah, he was the more like easygoing, like fun one.
Yeah, he was.
Makes sense. Tell me about your grandparents.
My grandparents, I only had my mom's side grandfather
mm-hmm.
and my dad's side grandmother.
Yeah.
But they never lived with us, so I never developed attachment with both of them.
Yeah.
Because I used to visit them in the village occasionally in the holidays.
Yeah.
So, not much contact with them.
So,
they died when I was very young.
Because you didn't, like, live with them, how did you know them? Like, how did you, like, if you had any interactions with them, like, were they just super awkward, or were they, like, still grandparent-y?
No, they were not awkward. They were nice, but except I wish I had more time with them. They both died very young, when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never awkward. No.
Makes sense. What was your child like having so many siblings? Like, how many siblings did you have initially?
I had 3 siblings.
So what was your childhood like with that many siblings?
With all the siblings?
Yeah.
No, it just used to have a lot of kids in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all grew up together. We never used to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly any fights. And because my brothers are a lot younger than me,
mm-hmm.
When they were very young, I left home when I was 15. I went to college.
How did you go to college at 15?
Yeah, so my brothers were very young.
Yeah.
And so the only person I knew better was my sister.
Yeah, because you guys have a 4 or 5 year age difference, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, like, what kind of relationship did you have with your brothers, like, in your childhood, and how has that changed throughout your adult life?
My brothers, I used to be fond of them.
Mm-hmm.
As we got older, and, you know, I spent a lot of time away from home.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to do a lot of things with them.
Yeah.
That what I did with my sister. Because I was away from home, sent to college, I used to spend most of the time in the hostels.
Mm-hmm.
I would only go a very short period of time to home.
Yeah.
So that time we used to play together.
Hostel is like you live on campus and they give you like food and everything, right?
Yeah.
Was it like the is it like the hospice that you see on like the Telugu movie Happy Days, or is it like worse?
No, these are like all the girls will stay in one section of the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys will stay away from that area.
Oh,
and
nice.
We were not allowed to talk too much with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, they cannot come to our dorms at all. We have to meet them outside.
Makes sense.
So very strict visiting hours and everything.
Okay.
And if we want to go to a movie, we have to take permission from the in-charge.
Follow-up question. I know you met Kagua Medical School.
Mm.
How did you meet him again? Because that's a really cute story.
I was trying to forget that whole thing. He came and talked to me when I first joined this college.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined college almost 4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Than other people. So he came to me and told me, I cannot wear langavoni because it's a college, so I should wear saris. But I didn't have any saris, but I was so scared of him. And I told him, okay. But then I was so afraid to find him anywhere in the campus because I was afraid where he would come back and ask me. But he didn't. So I managed somehow like that. Then he would stop me when I go for exams and all. He used to follow me everywhere, library, college, classes, everywhere. I would turn around, I see him. That's how I met him.
Besides the kicking, besides him kicking a car at the airport, what other funny, memorable things could you pinpoint about Kagu that he's done?
One time we were going on a motorbike, and he went and hit the motorbike to a buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the ground. Just flew into the air and landed on the ground. And he said, it's okay, we can go. But everyone was I was just upset. It was not funny. That was one thing I will always remember. And then what is the other thing? We had a lot of fun memories, so.
How did he hit the buffalo? Did he just not see it, or did he just, like, swerve into the road?
What, ma'am?
How did he run into a buffalo?
Because what happened was we used to run a small clinic, mm-hmm. and we wanted to go to a movie, so we closed the clinic and we are running away from the patients. It was dark, no street lights. Mm-hmm. The buffalo was really dark, and he went and hit the buffalo. So people were just calling from behind, and we just ran away. And then the scooter, you know, the front handles kind mm-hmm. of got crooked. And we have to go home because we couldn't drive that one. So we couldn't go to a movie. We went home, and then we were afraid of his father seeing that. So we have to shut up the scooter and just push that into the car garage. And then next day morning, he took it for a repair.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me a story about one of our cousins or ancestors that has stuck with you throughout the years or has changed you as a person.
What is that? What is that?
Tell me a story about one of our cousins or ancestors that has changed you over the years, or it just sticks with you in some way today.
Oh, our relatives? No. Mm-hmm. For education, my uncle has inspired me to go to college and get good education. Because my uncle was a professor in human genetics, I always used to look up to him, and I used to think I should be like him.
Mm. Ashish Tata, right? Or the other one?
No. My Gop Tata's brother, Sundar Tata.
Sundar Tata,
Gopi's brother.
He lives by our house, doesn't he?
Yeah, they're on the same street like us.
Okay. Sundar Tata has a granddaughter, correct?
Yeah.
Is she like my age, or is she like...
No, she's like Sindhu's age.
Because she seems like a lot older than she actually is.
I don't know, because, you know, his son got married very late, so they have a very young kid.
Tell me... I know you and Kagu, like, travel, like, everywhere internationally. What was your favorite place to go traveling, and why?
I went to Beaujolais mm-hmm. in France. I loved that place. I only went once. We always thought of going back, and we didn't. It was just so beautiful with winery, grape gardens, and just the village atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. That trip was beautiful. We went to safari, Tanzania safari. That was another best vacation.
Kagu with his white safari hat and the shirt and the red sneakers.
We traveled a lot of good places, like Southeast Asia was very nice.
Yeah. okay, that's pretty funny. When you guys went to Hawaii recently? You guys went to Hawaii recently.
I didn't go to Hawaii recently. I went a while ago.
Oh yeah, when you went to Hawaii, how was the temple there, right? Did you go do like meditation there or anything, or like did you get like rudrakshas?
I liked it all because the temple was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was not complete at the time; it was slightly in the beginning.
They had a smaller temple
before that.
Yeah.
And it was in 200 acres or 250 acres land with so many rudraksha trees. Mm-hmm. And just felt real at home. I just loved the Shivalingam. I want to go back there, maybe this summer when I come.
Well, we should do Hawaii, maybe instead of like Portugal or something.
What's that?
We should do Hawaii instead of Portugal.
We can go to Hawaii.
Maybe. No problem. It's so pretty, and we can go to, like, the Dole Plantation.
What's that?
We can go to, like, the Dole Plantation.
Plantation?
Yeah.
We can do that. Hawaii would be beautiful.
Yeah. And...
let's think about it. Yeah.
Do you have any funny stories about Amrichicha? Because...
No, I wouldn't say that to you. It would just kill me, Silo. You can just say that Amrichicha used to be an absent-minded kid. So he would forget his homework at home, and he'll go to school, and then they will they'll call me. Sometimes the teacher will be taking classes.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the side he will be explaining to the students. So then he gets into trouble, and the teacher would call me like that. So those are like, you know, it would be funny for others, but it was not funny for him. He was so, everyone in my office used to laugh about him, you know, why would he do that?
What about Dada?
Dada used to do a lot of car accidents and give me a story about how that car was parked in so properly, but someone else came and hit it. The cops know us, and they would come and tell us what happened. And then he'd get caught with Kagu, and he'll be in trouble. And I used to believe him every time. Okay.
Was Kagu more like... Kagu was more of the strict parent.
Yes, very strict parent for both the boys.
Yeah. Would you say Kagu has eased up over the years since?
Yes, a lot. With the grandkids, he eased up too much.
Which grandkid is he the most easygoing with? Like, which one does he have the most soft spot for?
I was an easygoing parent.
Yeah. Because when you hit the car to the thing, you're like, oh yeah, that you must have parked, or you must have parked fine. Someone must have came and hit you.
Okay.
When Ami came home with Lucille being trashed, what was your initial reaction?
When she came to our house?
No, do you remember when, like, their red pickup truck got trashed? Like, they, like, ran into it?
No.
And,
yeah, you know what? It was no big deal. I was so happy that she was safe. This was an old car. It's okay. We got rid of it. That's it. None of us were upset.
That's good. What was your initial reaction when you found out Ami was pre-med? And how did that shape your opinion of her?
Oh, no, she was never a pre-med. We put her in medical school directly.
Oh, India didn't have pre-med?
No.
Oh, I thought they had pre-med where you had to take, like, classes and stuff. Is that only in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Would you say, like, the medical school track in India is more difficult than the one here? Or would you say it's about the same and they're difficult in their own ways?
I think they're difficult in their own ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At Sparsh, tell me a couple of stories about your most memorable patients.
My memorable patient? I had one patient with pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And a very highly educated person.
Mm-hmm.
She became very close to me. But at the end of dying, she asked me, because everyone was coming and seeing her taking pictures, she asked me if she could have some privacy.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure she had privacy. And she told me, like, she's ready to go. She just wants her to be left alone, peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
So I helped her with that. I'll never forget her. And she was very tough, very close to me. There was another guy who was 15 years old,
mm-hmm,
with the sarcoma just recently. And he was so afraid of death, and he developed an allergic reaction to a medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I diagnosed that, and I didn't have Benadryl there.
Yeah.
So I sent home and asked Kagu to send Benadryl to the first. I gave it to him. He got better, and he used to always call me Doctor in Red Sari. He never could remember my name. He used to say, the doctor in Red Sari. And when he died, I actually cried. I just couldn't help it. I just cried. I usually don't do that in Sparsh, but couldn't help it. Yeah. Seeing his mom and father, what they went through.
Because he's 15 and 16.
Many stories, Ra. Each one is a story.
Yeah.
Oh. How the parents cope with it. They're still in touch with me.
Was it Angamma or the other one who would just, like... We would make food, and she would just... She would eat it, but she wouldn't, like, be fully impressed by it.
Yeah. I haven't done any cooking recently, but because they have a different cook now, I didn't want to go into the kitchen. But I buy eggs. Every time I buy eggs for school, I buy for Sparsh too. I give it to them.
That's cool.
I jamakailu from Tota, I give it to them.
Yeah.
So things like that, you know. It's not big deal for us, but for them, it's a big deal.
Because fruits are a lot more expensive there.
Yeah.
Okay. Describe your style of cooking. Like, how is it so dynamic all the time, and how do you make everything? It tastes so good, but it doesn't taste the same every time. How do you do that?
Because I just use ingredients which are available, mm-hmm. and then I just cook. So I don't wait for all the ingredients. So whatever I have available, I just use them and cook. If you just put salt and chili powder, mm-hmm. right amount, mm-hmm. it tastes good.
Yeah.
I put all my love in that cooking.
What's your favorite kind of thing to cook for either? Huh? What's your favorite thing to cook? What's your favorite thing to cook?
I didn't get it.
So, food-wise, what kind of... Has there been, like, a food that you've known how to make over the years or something that your mom taught you how to make that's just special and you love making it?
My recipes are all mixed up with my mom's and my mother-in-law's and things I see outside and things I imagine. That's it.
None
of them are standard recipes.
When Kagu starts cooking in the kitchen, what is your initial reaction?
Shock. And denial. And anger.
What's, like, the worst thing Kagu has tried cooking and it just, like, didn't come out right?
I don't know. He never really cooked. He just made an omelette.
Mm-hmm.
And he used a shake and bake. That's all to it. He never really put anything on the stove. He's just afraid of doing it.
Yeah.
Now
that you're more, now that you're retired and you're working at Sparsh and you're working at Valmiki at the orphanage, would you, like, if you were, like, about, like, would you ever consider adopting one of the little boys from Valmiki?
We do. We have adopted all the children. That's why I support them to the school, Valmiki orphanage. All, every 52 kids get paid by the school fees by me.
Oh, all 52?
All 52, I pay.
Oh.
I get, like, you know, like, Ammi sponsors one kid.
Mm-hmm.
I have few people who sponsored kids.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of it, I add up and I pay for every one of them school fees.
Who got you into doing orphanage and charity work? And
no one. I just loved it. I always loved to take care of orphan kids. And I don't know, me and Kagu, we always loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I've sponsored so many children in Burlington.
Burlington also has an orphanage. Yeah, has an orphanage.
Yeah. We help a lot of kids through nursing school. And anywhere, I think we have kids all over the world, like, you know, like India, different states I have sponsored. And just, I don't know, you know, we have money.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should help people who are in need.
So when you first, after you retired about like 10 years ago, when you first moved to India, how did you like come to find out about Sparsh and who was the driving force that made you get super involved?
I just walked in by accident.
How?
Sparsh. I just was inquiring about another one hospital. I was checking out for my aunt. Then I walked in, and then I found out it was hospice. Then I told them I am going to U.S. and I'll be back in August. I will work as a volunteer. That's it.
What were your expectations going into hospice care? I mean, knowing that the patient is going to, like, pass away, what were your hopes for the patient?
When they're half dead, you mean?
Yeah.
I just want to leave this world very peacefully. At most, with at most comfort and love.
Okay. Over the course of the interview, how did your expectations change of the interview questions, and how have they made you reflect back on your life thus far?
What is my expectations?
So what were your expectations of your interview, and how did they make you feel about reflecting that far back?
My expectations is, you know, it was a privilege to give all these details to my granddaughter, mm-hmm. who is also have similar interests. So I feel like I'm sharing things with her.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that she would kind of see the values of life,
mm-hmm.
and follow up on that in her life.
For me in the future, do you have any advice that you would give to me about, like, 8 years down the line?
Be yourself, okay? And respect people around you, and try to give as much love as you can. Don't put value on the materialistic things.
So when you first got into Rotary Club, did you know at all, like, what it was, or was it more of those, like, you kind of just jumped in and you found out along the way?
I understood that Rotary role in the community. Mm-hmm. I joined voluntarily after understanding what they do.
And Inka questions levu. Ante.
Ante na. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Noni.
I'm sorry I didn't call you.
You're good, Noni. I'll call you.